What does it mean to you when you hear, fill your cup? It's all about making the time to take care of you. Self-care is something that I see talked about frequently on social media, which I love, but let's be honest, most of us often forget to do it. On this episode of Anything But Simple Talk, I chat with Christina Costantino, founder of Alternative Healing and Little Ones Aqua Therapy. Christina is a registered massage therapist and certified in pediatric sensory integration, which allows her to not only provide self-care for parents, but helping your little ones as well. Christina, thank you so much for joining this special episode of Anything But Simple Talk. We are talking about something very, very important, which is fill your cup, making time for yourself. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm so excited to be here today and to talk about things that are super important and that are essential for us.
Exactly. And we're going to inspire a lot of people to start filling their cup. And let's get right into it. What does it mean to fill your cup? When someone says that to you, what do you think?
Well, you know, I thought about that. And to me, it means doing something that like feeds your soul. You know, something that has no obligation, no responsibility, nothing that you are obliged to do as a mom, as a person. It's something that doesn't need thinking, that just feeds your soul and makes you feel good.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I like that.
Right? Yeah. And especially the no responsibility part, because I feel like we're on all the time because we're thinking about this, we're thinking about that, this has to be done, that has to be done, work, home, life, wife, husband, you know, spouse. And so something that is just yours.
That's so true.
You know, and that you do by yourself.
And for yourself.
For yourself. That's
right. So then same light, how do you fill your cup?
So to me, what feeds my soul is a couple of things. So water. So I used to go to Elmwood Spa a lot to just use their facilities, and my husband would always get me certificates there. Like, I'm a very experienced person. Like, I don't want items, I don't want things, I want experiences. So I would always go do that, or somewhere near a beach, and dancing, like, just, you know, feeds my soul. So little things like that. Yeah, spa or dancing would be my top two.
That's beautiful. I didn't know you liked to dance. Look at you.
I used to dance. Yeah, I used to actually dance. Ballroom, Latin ballroom, hip-hop, and belly dance.
What? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know what? There's something about dancing. I'm not a professional dancer, but when I used to hit that dance floor, that was my stage.
Right? You just...
I was free.
That's it. It's freeing. It's just... movement makes you feel good, and the right song just gets you going.
Absolutely,
right?
When I think about fill my cup, I think about doing something for me, like you mentioned, like going for a massage.
Right.
And you are a registered massage therapist. I go to you to kind of, you know, let go of everything and just feel good in my soul too, because it's a relaxing state.
It is.
And what do you think about that? The power of touch and what you can do and offer people.
I'm so happy you said that word because touch is so vital to, and you drew me something recently.
Yes.
And, okay, I can't remember verbatim because it's brand new of what it said, but it said nothing feels, no, what did you write me? Nothing feels as good as a healing power of touch.
Yes, something along those lines.
Right? So scientifically, so registered massage therapists are very evidence-based. So physically and developmentally, touch is actually the first sense to develop in the womb.
Wow.
And and it's very vital for thriving for babies. So and even yourself. So like you said, when you're feeling down, when something's going on, not just when you have pain, you know, you thrive for that touch. And it's because it's second nature to us and it has a host of benefits. That can be psychological, that can be physical, right? And it all stems from, it's literally the first sense that develops inside the womb. So we thrive on that as soon as we're born, is touch. And unfortunately, some people have negative touch. So there's a thing called negative touch. For example, babies. I use babies a lot because that's where it all stems from. When they have a lot of procedures done when they're born. So if they're getting pricked a lot, if they're have blood work drawn, if they're going through surgeries and stuff. So they associate touch with being negative. And you have to actually untrain them, you know, to realize that it doesn't have to be negative or painful touch. It can be positive and happy touch, right? Which makes you feel good. For adults, it's people who have unfortunately maybe have been in an unfortunate circumstance of being abused can become accustomed to positive touch over time. It's just all stored in cognitively, right? In the different parts of our brain and where we store our memories in the subconscious.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's powerful. Touch is powerful on many levels.
100%. 100%. And what you do, you're really healing people from the outside in, right?
Right.
It takes a special kind of person to do what you do, because I feel like you also, your energy is so important. You have to have like that calming energy, because when you're touching somebody, it's like you're...
It does,
right?
Yeah, and absolutely. Absolutely. There's many times, I mean, everyone goes through something, whether my kids made me upset right before I went to work or I'm super stressed out about something before. You have to shut that down because the client is your priority. As soon as you step into your clinic, as soon as you step into that room, you don't matter. Everything is for the client. Client safety, client's needs, the client, right? So it's actually a difficult balancing game sometimes for myself, because I have to just compartmentalize. And I've been doing it for a very long time, so it's extremely easy for me to compartmentalize. But oftentimes, my clients are like, they like to talk sometimes, right? Some people just want a quiet massage and some people would like to talk. So you go off of that and they ask you about your day. And sometimes you have to just say, oh, I'm good. You know, put on a smile. Everything is great. How are you?
Yeah.
I could be going through the worst possible thing in my life, but that doesn't matter at the moment because it's the client, right? Because the therapist always has to be the therapist.
Yeah.
And look out for our client's best interest. Yeah. So it's a juggling game, but it does take a certain type of person to really fulfill this role as a registered massage therapist or any healthcare practitioner.
100%. And then what do you think the physical and psychological benefits of a massage is?
So physical, you go to a massage because sometimes you feel pain, right? So it decreases pain, decreases tension, increases range of motion, increases, optimizes performance for sports. It increases rehabilitation, right? So you, from an injury. And the psychological is with regards to nervous system. So it decreases your stress levels because it directly affects your hormones, right? It directly affects your nervous systems. You can initiate an excited response, which is a more light and fast-paced massage, or you can elicit a deep meditative relaxation response, which is a deeper, slower, more firm stroke. So there's a host of benefits, but I think the main things for psychologically would be decreased stress and increased feeling of well-being. And then the physical would be pain and discomfort. It would decrease your pain and discomfort.
So if you're giving a massage to someone that you know is coming to you, they're openly coming to you and they're saying, I'm having a hard time. They're like, they're pouring some heaviness on you, right?
Yeah.
Not just physical, but mental, right? Everyone's gone through a lot lately and they're just stressed out. They're laying it all on you. Do you feel like it drains you and, you know, and you're absorbing some of that, like that tension?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you just have to protect yourself, right? You have to really detach yourself from the situation. And I'm an empath, so I feel everything, you know, and I feel for people I don't know. I feel for people I see on the news. I feel for animals. You just feel. So you really have to detach yourself from the situation. You have to listen. You have to make your client be heard, and you have to really always, we have a code of conduct, right, that we go by, and if the client says anything that we feel that they are a danger to themselves or society, these are things that we have to report. Okay. But usually we always just bring it back. We can't give advice as a psychotherapist, a counselor. We have to, there's a fine line of our scope of practice, but we just have to make sure we're making our client feel heard, and that we don't absorb that and we detach ourselves from that situation, because we are there for the manipulation of the soft joints, soft tissue and joints of the body. And we really have to just bring it all together just with being heard, but we can't give too much advice. So it's very generic. For example, if someone were to say, you know, I don't know about my marriage, or I don't know about this, I don't know about that, or my kids are driving me crazy. You know what? I totally understand that. Definitely relatable. But, you know, let's take this time for yourself and let's just reel it all in and try to think of things that make you happy. So you always have to, you know, bring it back to the reason why they're there, but make them feel heard and try not to absorb it. Yeah. Because if you absorb it all 5 times a day, by the time you go home, I'm a mess.
100%.
I'm a mess. So sometimes, but most of the time we have it together.
See, and that brings me to the misconceptions, right? There are so many misconceptions when you think of a massage therapist. And that's one of them. You don't understand that obviously it's a difficult job on your body, right? I feel sorry for you when you're done with me. I'm like, poor you.
You know what? You have to feel sorry for the people who just started massaging, because they don't know how their dynamics of like ergonomics in the room, they've just started, so like, you know, they're gonna do as many people as they can in a day, and as you get into the career a little bit longer, you know, you space out your day, you know how much time you need, and if your clients need a lot of pressure, you put them at the beginning of the day appointments, you know, and then leave like the lighter pressured clients toward the night, so you can adjust your schedule and it works out.
But
it is, not a lot of people realize that we get drained too, because, and especially in today's society with the pandemic and everything, you kind of hear repetitive, I'm stressed, I'm depressed, right?
Yeah.
So it's a lot. And you want to be there for everybody. And you're grateful that they feel like your place is a safe haven and that you make them feel so better, but you do absorb a lot of that. And I would say that some people don't realize being in a dark room for 5 hours a day, always being dark with no sunlight. Sometimes we'll go outside. We'll make sure that we get that sunlight because it's the circadian rhythm of the dark and the light.
So, see, I never would have even thought of that.
Pretty cool. Yeah. So sometimes I'm exhausted because of just being in a dark room for so long.
Yeah. That's so true. Are there any other misconceptions you'd want to just like put out there and say?
One thing that someone always asks, your hands must be so tired. Like a lot, like that's probably the number one thing that people say. And it's actually not our hands, because we use our body weight.
Yes.
Right? So we're not physically, the power doesn't come from our hands. It comes from our body weight. So that's one misconception that a lot of people think, like, oh my God, your hands must hurt. It's like, no, but my back does.
Very true. And you know what? I always thought that you must massage your whole family then. They're so lucky to have you.
Yes, family does not get massages. My poor husband, he's broken. And I was like, just book an appointment and then I'll massage you.
See,
like, come into the
even
shop.
Family no has to book appointments, okay?
It's so true. Every massage therapist would tell you that. And if you're still massaging your spouse at home, or God bless, I don't have the energy. My kids get a lot of massages.
Yeah, well,
before bedtime. So one loves massage and one doesn't want to be touched and wants to be touched at certain times, right? So kids have the ability to give you that consent. And it's crazy that they're so different. one, I created a massage monster, and the other one's like, no, that's enough. Don't touch me.
Well, it's kind of good. It gives you a break. It's all about balance.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not complaining. That's for sure.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about children massage. So how early do you recommend a child or a baby come in for a massage, and why?
So it all depends on their needs and if they have, if they're typically developed or if they're atypical development. A person can get massaged out of the womb. And actually there has been a lot of studies in the NICU, and they use this method, which is the skin to skin, because they thrive on touch. So in India, Bangladesh, Nepal, China, these are the places that pediatric or infant massage have originated. And they've been doing it as a traditional art form of therapy, like 2500 BC.
Wow.
So yeah, and there's many studies. And I actually teach a course. I teach pediatric massage therapy and hydrotherapy to registered massage therapists. And a portion of that is the history of when can children need or want massages directly after birth, if they have indigestion, colic, acid reflux, growing pains, if the older teens are involved in sports. And the duration always reflects on the specific needs. So I can't really speak on the duration, but usually our infants we see probably once or twice a month, especially because we do the hydrotherapy as well, which is going to be up and running soon. Everyone's waiting. They've been waiting very patiently since September, but so it all depends. It all depends on, the duration depends on the individual needs of the client.
And then what about kids that maybe have special needs? Do you find that that's a benefit for them as well?
Absolutely. So it can help with a host of things with kids with disabilities, or we say of children of all abilities. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you come in with or what you're presenting with. It's always come back to if their muscles are too tight because they have a lot of seizures. If we have to loosen up things because they just had a surgery. So it benefits everybody in different ways, whether you are typical or atypical development, whether you have an ability or you don't.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's all customized to each client. Each child is different.
All tailored to your specific needs always. Yeah, thorough assessment, and that's where we depict what the treatment plan will be.
That sounds amazing. You know, I never thought of getting a massage for my kids, ever. I just never thought about it.
During this pandemic, we saw a rise in how many children wanted or needed treatment for psychological reasons of just being stressed on online learning, for their mental health, especially the teens.
Well, and the teens, you know, and kids in general have been sitting at a computer, like how nine to five people do on their computer. Maybe at recess time, they're not really going outside to burn that energy. They're sitting at a desk or on in front of a screen. That must be exhausting on their body too.
Yeah, and that comes with a host of issues with their neck, right? With their upper back, with their lower back. So this isn't something that was supposed to be normalized. Online learning was not supposed to be normalized, but it, thank God, it is a form that they got to connect with their peers, right? All of us had a way of living, and that we had to accustomize our life to. So, I mean, it's a blessing and a curse all at the same time.
Yeah. Right? I mean, we all learned a lot through that. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And at least we were considered essential.
Yes. Thank goodness.
It really helped. A lot of my clients, when they saw, oh my God, you take children, you know, they made that time, and the children loved coming back. They would actually ask for me. I had a client actually just reach out, and I used to do in-home massages for their family, and the kids used to only get a half hour treatment. And sometimes it'd be like, why do you get an hour, Mom? And how come you only booked a half hour for me? So I would literally be at this client's house for 5 hours.
Wow.
Massaging their whole family. And they just messaged me, and they're like, the kids miss you so much. You know, we're feeling a little bit more at ease to have an in-home massage, because I didn't open my in-home massages yet. And I only do a select few of like clients who I used to do.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, oh my goodness, it felt so good that the kids made them text me, right? And say like, you need to get Christina back. I want an hour now. If you get an hour, I get an
hour.
That
is amazing. Right? I love that.
So actually going off of that, massage not only has psychological or physical benefits, it teaches your child how to take care of themselves and body awareness.
Yeah.
And that is huge, huge, right? It teaches them consent to their body. Mm-hmm. It teaches them confidence, and actually a lot of one misconception, especially with children, is, oh, they're not going to sit still. I don't know if they're going to like massage. You do not have to sit still. You do not have to take off your clothes. There are different ways to massage you and different forms of massage therapy that can be done to accommodate your needs. So kids don't have to lay down. Our toddlers that we have, we're chasing them around our clinic to massage them as they're discovering and as they're playing. And they let us do it.
Wow.
Some teens, some 8-year-olds, 10, like the preteens, they don't want to take off their clothes. They don't want to take off their tops. They're not comfortable. Guess what? They are in control. They have every right to remove as little or as much clothing as they wish. We can't use oil on clothes, but there are different techniques we can use to make them feel comfortable and get that form of touch. So I think that's pretty cool because parents don't know that they don't have to. And actually, if a mother or a parent comes in and says, oh, no, don't worry, just take off your top because that's what's supposed to happen and lie down on the table, we stop them and say, actually, that's not what's supposed to happen. And it's whatever your child feels comfortable with is what they have to do. And we direct our conversation back to the child because they are in control of their treatment. And they don't need to. They don't need to remove their clothes at all.
I love that. You know, I never knew that. I have like one vision of what going to a massage is like, and that's it. I don't think of it in any other way. And I love that you turn to the child and you make it their decision.
Because
it is, no matter what age you are, it's your choice.
It's their body.
Their choice.
It's their choice. It's their decision. And we teach them how to be in control of that situation. I mean, obviously, if they're under 16, the parent has to be present, but we really educate the parent on how the dialogue is going to go between us and your child and why it's important, because we want them to feel safe and this is a safe environment for them, and them to understand that they have full control. They can stop the treatment at any time. And we always go through that in our assessment, in our interview, our health history interview.
I love that. That's amazing. Now, do you find that you're busier since the pandemic? That's wonderful.
We've been very consistent. We've had some restrictions because we have to leave an allotted time in between our treatments. So we've been extremely busy. June slowed down a bit because the weather got so nice and everyone wants to be outside. And I was like, perfect. It's a breather. Like, let's all enjoy what's open, right? So, but even then, it's still consistent and busy, and we were busier because really we were the only thing that was open.
That's true.
And the only thing that you could do, a lot of people used their benefits, because we do direct billing, and that was a little bit of a relief that they didn't have to have an out-of-pocket expense but still have a form of therapy available.
Yeah.
Right. So we were really busy.
Instead of everyone waiting till December like they usually do. Like, I know I always forget. Okay. It's the end of the year. You're like,
it's actually October to December.
October to December,
Let's exhaust our benefit season.
But if you try to get an appointment in December, it's almost impossible. People like the receptionists laugh at you.
They're like, you were supposed to call like last month.
But exactly. That's okay.
But actually this taught people to take care of themselves and why it's so important, right? When we got everything removed, of our social lives removed, we only had time to reflect on ourselves. And when we saw like, oh my goodness, like we actually need socialization. Like, how are we going to get through this? Right. So it really made people, I think, take a step back, see what's important, and one being yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
That goes back to filling our cup. right? If how are we going to take care of anybody else if we don't fill our own and take that time for
Exactly.
ourselves?
And by taking
Right?
your kid, you're teaching them at a younger age to fill their cup too. Right? It's
Absolutely.
not just
Absolutely.
playing and having fun all the time. That's filling your cup.
Right.
You need to take care of your body just like you need to sleep and get rest. You need to brush your teeth. You need
Right.
to take care of your body. You've inspired me to definitely let my kids have a try at it. I think they're also very different. I think one would be like, this is weird. Why are you touching me? And the other would be like, well, I like it when my mommy does it, so why not? I'll give this a shot.
Absolutely.
Now, growing up, I was always raised that massages was like a luxury thing. Like the rich people go for massages.
Right.
No, you can't go for a massage.
Right.
We're not rich. But it's not like that.
Right.
That's another misconception.
It's not. Yeah, that is a misconception. It is not a luxury. It's healthcare.
Yeah.
Right? It's healthcare. And it should be part of your routine. And I always do the analogy of a car. So if you don't do maintenance on your car, if you don't start your car in the winter in a very long time, what happens? Things start to break down, right? And that's not just registered massage therapy. That's with everything, chiropractic, physio, kinesiologist, any type of healthcare practitioner that treats the body or movement, you know, is super important because we can't do actions if the right muscles aren't working. Right? If the right patterns aren't activating. So you have to think about it as a car, right? This is the only car we get. We can't buy a new one.
So true.
Sometimes.
Very true.
You can feel certain places, but the internal organs you can't buy, right?
Yes. So, I love that. I'm going to use that forever now.
Right?
So this career that you chose, I mean, honestly, do you decide this is what I want to do with my life?
So I was involved in a car accident when I was 15. I was riding my bicycle and it was at a roundabout island tree thingy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't walk my bike. So maybe if I was walking my bike, I wouldn't have got hit by the car. But I was riding my bike and this lady didn't see me. And she just ran right into me. I went flying. I ended up actually, I went over, like, you know, in movies, and I believe in angels, I believe in all of that, I believe in spirit guides, I believe in it all, and my grandfather, my mom's dad, passed away in May of that year, I got into my car accident, and I distinctly remember, I don't know how, that is my only memory of this accident, is that I slid on, you know, in like Rush Hour, the movie Rush Hour, when they're sliding on cars on the front hood of the cars.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember, like, I felt like someone lifted me and slid me across the hood and I landed on my feet. I just got knocked by a car off of my bike. My bike was crushed and like down the road. And I didn't go above. I didn't tumble. I was thrown. I was literally remember seated, sliding on the hood and landing on my feet.
Wow.
Yeah, it was incredible. It could have been a lot worse.
So
I'm super grateful that it ended up just like that. I did have some injuries. So I my knee, my hip, and then we ended up finding scoliosis. So scoliosis is the curvature of your spine. You're either born with it or it's aggravated by an accident. So because I was at the age of, we don't know if I had it before the accident, but what happened was my pelvis was shifted in the accident. So it aggravated the scoliosis and it kept growing. So from 15 to 21, I had a huge curve of my spine. That didn't live dormantly. It would have kept growing and growing and growing. So in that time, I was in physio, I was in massage therapy, I was in rehab, like every other day for so long. And so I ended up having to have the spinal fusion. And the spinal fusion, I'm basically a pretty version of the Terminator.
Oh my God!
So I have like 6 or 7 inches of titanium rod. I have bolts, I have screws, I have a bone graft from a donor, which is super cool. So grateful for that donor.
Wow.
And just holding the spine together. In that time of rehab, I found my love for massage therapy. It was the only thing that made me feel really good psychologically and physically. So I said, as soon as I get my surgery, I'm signing up to massage school. And I literally had my surgery March 2011. I went to massage school September 2011. I healed. I made myself, like, I was on a mission. I was like, no, I played victim for too long. Well, not victim, but, like, I was in pain for so long. Yeah. I was so uncomfortable in my life. There was a legal battle with the you know, the car
accident. Yeah, that stuff gets messy.
It was so messy, and I had to give up dance. I was super active before. I had to give up dance, soccer, track, cross, everything. I'm in grade 10, the summer of grade 10.
Like, oh my gosh.
I was literally on point to probably be athlete of the year. Like, that was my goal, right? At one point in my high school career, but I had to let everything go. So I was depressed, right? I rebelled a lot. So I said, you know what? After my surgery, that's it. I'm creating my own life. I'm in control of my own life. I literally finished school, opened my business. I never worked for anybody else because I said, you know what? They're going to kill me by working me overtime with my back. So I knew that I had to work for myself. I sat in my massage room with zero clients. Well, actually, no, that's a lie. I was an esthetician before massage therapy, and I worked at a spa, actually in the same plaza that I'm in now. That's where I started my career. That's a whole other story.
Wow.
Serendipity ended up in the exact same plaza I started my career. And I had a couple clients from being an esthetician, but I literally just opened my business, rented a room, and sat there and was like, okay, now what do I do? How do I get my client? How do I get more clients? I talked to every single person, like in a Fortino's lineup, everybody.
You were hustling. Oh, you were hustling.
I hustled so hard. I went to so many markets, like the Health and Wellness Expo was my very first market, Momunity Markets, everything. And then that's how I started. The pediatric, so I've always been treating kids, always.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it really grew into something substantial in 2019 when we opened up Little Ones Aqua Therapy.
Yeah.
And in that time from 2013 when I got my registration to 2019, I took it upon myself to really understand how the body moves and how like children development in so many aspects, sensory motor integration, retraining techniques, like. And that's how I opened Little Ones Aqua Therapy. And now I'm teaching it to other massage therapists. So it's really transformed into something so beautiful. Like, I love my career. I love what I built. Like, I worked so hard for it. And I'm so happy that it's translating into helping so many people. And I formed so many relationships with other clinics. Like, I used to rent inside Bodability, which was the last clinic I was in. Then we merged and became co-leasers. And in there, I learned functional rehabilitation. So that is a huge aspect of how I treat. And also, I formed a relationship with Smile Therapy for Kids, which is the biggest rehab for kids of special needs, or actually everybody. They treat everybody. They're in occupational therapy. So, like, I just love what it has transformed into and what I have manifested, and that's how I did it. It was because of my own trials and tribulations. Yeah.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah. And that fuels me, you know?
Exactly.
Like, it fuels me, and everybody, like, sees that, you know, they feel that energy of why. And I truly have a gift, and I'm not a cocky person. I'm a very humble person, but I know this was what I was meant to do. You know that feeling? Like,
yes.
You know, opening your own podcast, like, talking to people, spreading people's stories, right? Like, yeah. It just fuels you.
And you know what? Never feel uncomfortable for saying that, you know?
Right.
That's something we have to get used to. Like, every time you feel good about yourself when you say it out loud, you have that little...
I'm sorry, I'm not a cocky person.
Right.
No, but you know what? Say it out loud because you worked really hard for it. That's right.
Absolutely. And that story... Right. Is so inspiring because you could have gone down such a negative path.
Oh, absolutely.
But you built yourself up.
Oh, yeah. Actually, the first month after my spinal fusion, what happened was they put you on so many narcotics because it's a huge surgery. You're in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what I was on, but it was a lot of things that could have went the wrong way and like hallucinations. And I was like, I ended up fainting the week I got home because my body couldn't take everything I was on, and I broke my nose. Yeah, the week I came back from surgery.
Oh my final goodness. Surgery.
But that's okay. Everything was fine. But I was like, I was like, no, I'm not taking any medicine anymore. I'm doing this cold turkey. I literally went through withdrawal, getting off everything. And then I did it all naturally. I didn't, not even like an Advil. Like I kept moving. I kept doing everything. Your body has a lot of muscle memory too. So if you were super active before, you know, it's easier to rehab.
Yeah.
And that was it. Yeah. And I've been good ever since. I had two kids. So if I didn't have the surgery, I probably would have been super uncomfortable and too deformed, like to probably, I would have been wheelchair like bound to even get pregnant.
Wow.
So I had two kids, and so it was a lot. I gained 50 pounds each, so my back really hurt. But I mean, we brought two kids into this world, so it was amazing. Yeah, I'm really happy.
That's a beautiful, yeah. Happy ending story.
Yeah.
Good for you, Christina.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. I can't tell you how much it means to me. All this incredible information and reminding us how to fill our cups. And honestly, it turned into this inspiring story because, like, I never knew that about you. And I think it's so important to get that out there so people know, like, believe in yourself. Don't give up. You know?
Never take no for an answer. If you are 100% passionate about something and it fuels you, there is always a way. You never take no for an answer. A door will open. It might not be the one that you thought was going to open, but there are many doors, many people, and you just have to keep going and you will reach your goals.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm a firm believer too, that if there's a door that opens, you don't think is meant for you, it opened for you for a reason.
Yep.
You always take that chance no matter what.
And sometimes other doors have to close that we didn't think were going to close. Right. So it's really paying attention to the moment, not being distracted about what other people have, because you cannot compare yourself to people, because they might be at a point that you will get to, but it's not the same. You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it, but like,
we all have our own journeys, right? Our own time frames to get to where we need to go.
Right.
And
and surround yourself with people that make you feel good. Oh my goodness. That's so important. So important.
It truly is.
Or people that are where you want to be, you know, and always learn. There's never enough learning. You can always better yourself. You know, we don't know it all. We don't.
No, we don't.
As much as we think we do, we don't.
I think in your 20s is when you're kind of like, you think you know everything.
I know everything.
Then you get to your 30s, you're like,
oh, yeah.
I need to learn everything. I know nothing.
What was that?
Exactly. Okay.
But it was
so
my pleasure.
You.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
I am so grateful. Thank you so much. And you can find Christina on Instagram at alternativehealingmt or on her website, www.alternativehealingmt.com. I'll have everything written in the description, so make sure to check her out. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 4 of the Anything But Simple Talk podcast. I hope you learned something new and feel as inspired as I do right now to never give up. Be sure to share this with a friend or family member, like and subscribe. And remember, don't be ashamed to be anything but simple. The best people are.